With Montana News, I'm Bo Baker. Police in the Flathead Valley are investigating several threats that led to the cancellation of classes at more than two dozen public and private schools there. Flathead County Superintendent of Schools Jack Egensperger says school administrators are waiting to hear from law enforcement on how to proceed.
If we are notified before 6 o'clock that they have terminated the threat and they have the suspect in custody, then we'll go ahead with school tomorrow. But if we don't receive notification from the Sheriff's Department, then school will be canceled.
Flathead County Sheriff Chuck Curry says the initial threat via text or email was received by a Columbia Falls school yesterday. Other schools received similar threats and classes were canceled today. Curry says investigators were interviewing some, quote, persons of interest and following up on what he called electronically stored information. He added that he had no information leading him to believe there was an immediate public threat. The FBI, along with law enforcement officers from Flathead County and the city of Columbia Falls, are investigating. The closures include schools in Big Fork, Columbia Falls, Evergreen, Kalispell, and Whitefish, along with private schools and Flathead Valley Community College. The threats began hours after a high school student in a town southeast of Spokane, Washington, shot and killed a fellow student and injured three others. I'm Bo Baker, Montana Public Radio.
With Montana News, I'm Matt Blois. An interim legislative committee is leaving it up to Governor Steve Bullock to make budget cuts to account for lower-than-expected revenues and higher-than-expected firefighting and Medicaid expansion costs. An interim revenue committee heard from the legislatures and the governor's budget advisors today and agreed Bullock has the authority to make up to 10% in general fund budget cuts under state laws that require a balanced budget with a surplus. Budget Director Dan Villa said he didn't see any way revenue would increase enough to allow the state to make up a projected $227 million shortfall over the next 2 years. Democratic committee members made it clear they were open to holding a special session, which could include considering new or increased taxes. Republicans said a special session wasn't necessary. Yellowstone National Park biologists have euthanized a grizzly bear with a history of exhibiting bold behavior towards humans. Yellowstone Public Radio's Bree Ripley reports.
Even after being captured, tagged, and relocated to the Caribou-Targhee National Forest in 2015, Yellowstone Public Information Officer Jason Schaefer says the bear was undeterred.
The immature male grizzly that was involved in that action was repeatedly involved in conflicts with humans.
Last year, the bear entered campsites in the Heart Lake area and destroyed tents, sleeping bags, and sleeping pads. Park officials then unsuccessfully tried to change the bear's behavior through the use of electric decoy tents, electric food sack decoys, and by hazing with beanbag rounds, rubber bullets, and cracker shells. A few weeks ago, the bear forced a group of backpackers out of their Heart Lake campsite and consumed all of their food. Yellowstone closed the area to backcountry camping on August 27th and set traps for the bear on September 1st. The bear was captured and euthanized the morning of September 8th. The Interagency Grizzly Bear Study Team reports 23 bears have been removed from inside park boundaries, and 11 of those bears as a result of human causes in the last year. Only three of those bears, however, were noted to have exhibited bold behavior toward humans. Bree Ripley, YPR News.
The National Weather Service says the rain and snow western Montana is getting should continue through next week and will potentially end this year's fire season. The agency issued a winter storm warning for most of western Montana from 9 o'clock tonight until 6 a.m. Saturday, anticipating a dramatic change to very cold, wet weather. Meteorologist Jen Kitzmiller expects that will clear out smoke from the region and slow down fire activity.
Good news is that it looks like here for the next week at least, it's going to stay pretty cool and somewhat moist, periods of rain and high mountain snow continuing. So that really should help to slow things down and kind of put an end to fire season as we've seen it this year.
She said areas in southwest Montana along the Continental Divide could receive between 1 and 3 inches of rain over the next few days. So far, most of the rain has fallen in the Bitterroot Valley, but she expects the wet weather to keep moving west. Northwest Montana, near Libby and Eureka, could miss out on the rain at the end of this week, but she expects that area will get some rain this weekend and next week. The U.S. Senate has just unanimously confirmed Kurt Almy to be Montana's new U.S. attorney. He replaces Mike Cotter, who was let go in March, shortly after President Trump took office. Senator John Tester today said he would work closely with him to curb the meth epidemic in Montana. The U.S. Forest Service has spent a record $2 billion battling forest fires that are blackening the American West. That's a new record for the agency. I'm Matt Blois, Montana Public Radio.
With Montana News, I'm Bo Baker. Montana Secretary of State Corey Stapleton pushed back against allegations today of voter fraud in the May special election. Corin Cates Carney reports.
In July, the Republican Secretary of State testified before the State Administration and Veterans Affairs Interim Committee, saying that hundreds of ballot signatures were illegal in last May's special congressional election. The statement came in the context of urging lawmakers not to dismiss the possibility of voter fraud in Montana just because it hasn't been reported.
We all have to take a real hard look. We've never had voter fraud in Montana this century. I mean, nobody. And ask yourself, if we had no DUIs, if we had no, you know, shoplifting, if we had no sexual assaults, would we really say that we don't have those things, or would we say we don't have voter fraud because we've never pursued it or we don't understand? In this special election, for example, over 300 signatures were illegal statewide.
After that statement, the Democratic chair of the SAVA committee, Sue Malik, sent a formal request to Stapleton asking for more information about the number of fraudulent votes in each county, the reason those votes were considered fraudulent, and what legal actions have been taken in counties against alleged fraud. Thursday, in response to that request, the Secretary of State's Chief of Staff, Christy Jacobson, appeared before the SAVA committee to read a letter from Stapleton. The letter said Senator Malik's request incorrectly cited an article from the Associated Press reporting that Stapleton claims 360 cases of voter fraud in Montana. While the AP article never directly says the Secretary of State alleges hundreds of cases of voter fraud, it does say Stapleton asserts more than 360 illegal ballots were cast in the last statewide election. The Secretary of State's office uses the term illegal or mismatched ballot signatures interchangeably. It also defines illegal differently than fraud, which is much more serious and requires proving intent. Anthony Johnstone, an associate professor of constitutional and election law at the University of Montana, agrees with the Secretary of State's interpretation of those terms. He said ballots can be illegal but not fraudulent, and those terms should never be confused. County election administrators have said statements by the Secretary of State about potential fraud in Montana unnecessarily cast doubt upon the state's electoral process. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio.